and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This weekend I was yachting. Anything? What's going on? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Monday, everybody. Guess what Mama did over the weekend? I broke my foot.
how pray tell.
Fortunately, New York City with two giant dogs is just unbelievably easy to navigate anyway.
How pray tell did you break your foot?
We'll get to that in a moment.
Did Stephanie you break Miller it in Central Park?
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward. Associate producer Rebecca Taylor, who will be my full-time handler when I get back to L.A. this week.
Oh, no.
I'm not so much moving back to L.A. this week. I will be medevaced out. It'll look like the opening to MASH, basically.
No.
I'm going to need to be airlifted out of here because that's how badly New York has gone for me.
New York is spitting you out so hard that you're going to land in Los Angeles.
Here's how you guys know exactly there's really something wrong. I turned down television today. I was supposed to do MSNBC at 3 o'clock, and I had to call them and cancel this. I'm like, I need to go get an X-ray.
On Dylan Radigan's show?
I don't know. What's ever on at 3 o'clock?
I don't know.
Eastern. I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's Calamity Steph.
Good morning, your royal shallowness.
Good morning, Rebecca.
Hi. I can't wait for
you. How do you
to
feel
return.
Being the... You will be the sole adult supervision for me when I return to Los Angeles this week. Is that exciting? You and Mr. Taylor.
As long as I don't have to put lotion on your broken foot.
We are so in the throw mama from the train part of our relationship now, Chris. This is the part that you had feared.
So how did you break there. It? What happened?
Oh, well, funny you should mention it. And I know, the sad thing, drinking related?
Computer says no.
No, not really. I missed a step. I was in the middle of the night, Friday night, I was going up to get a Gatorade or something in the middle of the night, which I guess technically is drinking related because, you know, dehydration and...
Whatever.
Right. You know.
Right.
And so I have stairs that go down, back down to the bedroom, and I was sort of half asleep, and I missed a step, and crunch. Where's our crunch sound effect? Rebecca, this happens to all the president's women eventually. Hillary Clinton, Sonia Sotomayor, and now me.
Mm-hmm. It's because you've been defending him too much. That's why.
Oh, you know what? I will shove you so hard I'll break my other foot, and I don't even care. I will. You know what? I will break it off in your ass, and I will leave it there.
Oh, okay. Then you'll be limpy.
Yeah, this has been just a complete disaster, hasn't it? My move to Calcutta.
Yeah, it really has. And only one person thought it was a good idea. That was Ed Schultz. Everyone else.
I think I'm going out to dinner with him and Wendy tomorrow night. So I believe me, I'll have a little chat with him.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Ashton Kutcher shows up with a camera. We just want to see if you do it. Ah, punked. Yes, there was a little Wizard of Oz twist at the end there, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
It's like, oh, we found a studio in L.A. with no delay. You could have gone home anytime you wanted to. So let's just dispel the rumor right now. I did not do this kicking Ed Schultz because I love him. And I. No, I did the Ed Show Friday night. Is it up on the YouTubes?
It's up
StephanieMiller.com?
In the video section of StephanieMiller.com. Plus, it's up on your Facebook page.
It was great fun. I got to do the comedy segment.
You did?
The comedy. That's the funny kind of comedy. Mm-hmm. The Club Ed on Friday night. So check it out if you missed it. All right. So, yeah, that's how you know. I am not media whoring today. I'm going, okay, somebody help me. Do I need a... What do I need? An orthopedic surgeon? A podiatrist?
You should probably go to your general practitioner first.
And I don't then they have can... one.
You don't have one?
I'm moving back to L.A. this week. I don't have a doctor here. Oh, I am such a loser.
I don't know what to tell you then, because you don't have a general practitioner.
Go to the clinic and wait for 3 hours.
Go to the
Well, here's what happened. I called my brother-in-law is a retired orthopedic surgeon. He lives in Virginia.
Okay.
So he told me just to ice it and wrap it and see how it is by today. He said, don't go to the emergency room. You're just going to sit there. And they don't. Right. They won't really know what to do anyway. So
urgent care might, though.
How is that different than the emergency room? See, I'm unable to function as an adult on my own.
An emergency room is a part of a hospital.
Urgent
care is basically a doctor's office where they can come and see you right away.
All All right. Well, I already, since I don't have you guys to order around, since I'm not back in L.A. yet, I called the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Oh?
And asked it, because I'm told what I need is a boot. It's a thing you get at a medical supply store that pumps up or something, and it allows you to walk.
Yeah, you know why he told you that? Because he's the one who pays for the health insurance, and he doesn't want to put out any more money for you. That's why.
No, you don't need... You don't need to go to a doctor.
Yeah, so that's why.
Oh boy. Anyway, what was I gonna? Oh, I bought crutches. Yeah, I'll bill him for that. I bought crutches yesterday at Duane Reade, which that's a whole.
Oh, don't.
Can I just say you get the most looks of pity ever when you have two giant dogs on a leash and you're on crutches
inside a Duane Reade?
No, I had to take them to the park. What? That's
you
the problem.
Took, you took those dogs
no,
inside a...
No, oh, okay. I had to get by the crutches. And by the way, now I have scabs on my hands from crutches. What's the deal?
I've never worn crutches.
I'm a complete mess.
I've never worn crutches. I've never actually broken a bone, so I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if it's broken. It might not be. I'm pretty sure, though. He said that, but the problem is there's not much they can do for it. If you cracked what's the thing called? The
meniscus?
Little thing by your little toe, it seems like.
Oh, I have no idea.
Metatarsal, something.
Okay. I did not get my degree in pre-med. I don't know.
Why not?
Well, I have a degree in broadcast journalism.
What good is that to me right now? I'm just a complete mess. Ugh. All right. Okay. Fortunately, this week, not a big week for me, Chris.
No, not at all.
Yes. Tomorrow I have to fly to Washington and back, so that'll be fun. To give a speech. I'm giving a speech to the Office and Professional Employees International Union.
That's right.
Woohoo! Yeah. Oh, and tonight I'm going to the party, Ariana's party. Ariana, the party for Ariana and Mary Madeline's new radio show that they're launching. They're doing a new weekend radio show.
Wow. Very cool.
It's at the fancy Mark Green's house. And I'll be there with my giant boot.
Oh, my God. In a
and
cocktail
I had just,
dress?
You know, and you know what I did, Rebecca? You know me, not much of a fashion plate.
Uh-huh.
I remember to keep exactly the cute shoes to wear tonight.
Right. Are you wearing your Uggs?
Well, now I'm wearing my Uggs, yes. I did have cute shoes to wear, but my foot looks like a flipper, basically. It's just all...
Is it discolored?
Bruised and discolored and big and swollen and very, it's much longer than it used to be. It's like it's a flipper. I have a flipper now.
I hope you get gangrene.
They call him Flipper, faster than light.
What? Where did that come from?
She's just getting out her angst before she has to see you in person.
See, she just doesn't want to admit it. I sent her a funny email this week, and you know what she wrote me back?
What?
She said, I'm looking forward to your return. You love me! Stop with the on-air shtick. You hope I get gangrene, you skank. Wait till I get back.
Oh, it's not too late for me to put my 2 weeks in, so I don't have to see you before you get back.
No, she gets back on Friday, this Friday.
Yeah, it's too late. No, it's too late.
Yeah.
I'll be back in the studio Friday, so there. Too late for you. She's, oh, Rebecca's doing my, I'm just as you, if, as if you think my life can't get sadder.
Yeah.
And that I'm a single childless loser here all by myself with a broken foot and two giant dogs in New York. I'm giving myself a coming home party.
Yes.
I'm making Rebecca do the Evites because I don't understand how to do it. So.
Okay. Along those same lines, did you mean to send out a test to everybody in your address
yeah,
book?
Yeah, not really. A lot of people probably aren't happy. I got a lot of emails back, Rebecca, from people going, what's up? What is this?
Yeah, what is...
What's a party test? I was like, oops.
Oh, dear.
I didn't know how to do it. I don't have time. Obviously. I'm moving this week.
I got that email today, and I was laughing so hard.
I don't know how to do it. Man. I know. You know how many people wrote me back already? What
yeah.
is this?
Yeah.
And then I had to write them all anyway, and I'm having a party. I'm sorry. It was You're on the list. I'm a complete disaster on every level, aren't I?
You really should not function in life. You have no life skills.
I really need assisted care at this point. I think I should just go ahead and sell my house in L.A. anyway so that I can just go somewhere where I can get some help. somewhere where there's birds and things. Pretty birds tweeting.
You need a manservant.
I can get a little rest. There, or a manservant. Exactly.
Max!
All right.
Max!
I had hoped that I would meet a Brazilian boy toy whilst I was here.
No.
Or be able to steal Madonna's, but no.
No. Peter says no.
No. I got nothing. All right, this guy had a worse... I was just looking for any story for someone that had a worse weekend than I did.
Okay.
This guy almost lost a ball in a...
A what? Like a...
Yeah, it was basketball.
Oh, a basketball, not a...
No.
Okay.
Listen, I'm not in my right mind. I perhaps I misspoke. All right, this is the breaking news out of London. Joku, and also, I'm not saying because Tony Hayward went yachting, we take any special glee in things happening to British people at this point. I'm just saying.
Right.
Joe Cooper might want to think twice the next time he's asked to participate in a bikini waxing fundraiser for charity. He was left in agony after an intimate beauty waxing event at a pub went a bit too... See, right there.
Intimate?
Right there.
Beauty waxing?
Right there. Pub. And bikini waxing. No. That doesn't...
It says no.
Goes together worse than a baby in a bar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, A, men should not be getting bikini waxes.
Look at you! You have a baby! In a bar!
Oh, you had two... when you came in, and now you have one. He went to an intimate beauty waxing event at a pub. It went a bit too far. He nearly lost a testicle. He and 10 male friends had agreed to undergo the waxing on June 5th to raise cash for a local hospital, but all the others just had their chest waxed, like, you know, 40-year-old virgin. Steve Carell in that.
Yes.
Yeah. While Joel endured the male Brazilian, which apparently almost resulted in the loss.
Yeah, he endured the male Brazilian, which apparently exists.
Which, who knew?
Right.
That may have been canceled till further notice, I guess. All right. So we still have a big show, despite my infirmity. We have the Rude Pundit coming up, Eric Bowler from Media Matters, co-host Right Wing World. We have Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York, and also Ted Boutros Jr., who is Ted Olson's law partner. We will get an update on the Prop 8 trial.
Yes, California. Not Ted Olson's partner, Ted Olson's law partner. Yes.
Yes, I'm sure there's been some confusion about that. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the broken and battered Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Don't let it wait. Catholic girls start much too late. All sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Darling, only the good die.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Liz in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Steph.
Hi, Liz.
I'm so sorry about your foot, and even worse that you don't have a doc. So I was thinking you've been to the vet enough with your dog test here.
Maybe I could just stick my foot in there. Yeah.
Why not?
Yes, because anyway. I also had to on crutches with two dogs bring a fecal sample to the vet this week because they need it before they can fly. So it's been quite a glamorous weekend, Liz.
Very nice. I wish I could be you.
Thank you. Thank you, honey. I appreciate it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, see, this is the main point of the show, Chris. It makes everyone feel better about their life. Because no matter who you are, no matter how big a loser, you're not as big a loser as me.
That is true.
By the way, stop sending me test emails, okay? I get the joke. Everyone's sending emails with the subject line tests now.
I didn't answer because I knew that you just might have done something wrong.
How do you... I don't understand how you do it. I had to get Rebecca a bunch of email addresses, and I didn't have time to go write them all in separately, so I... Anyway, all right.
No, you copy and paste them into the body of the email. That way you don't send it to everybody in
I only have my laptop, and it doesn't seem to have the... I don't know why I don't have a file and an edit thing at the top. There's something... my life is just a mess.
No, you right-click. You right-click to get copy and paste.
Oops.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
How is it I've been able to navigate life this far?
I have absolutely no idea.
All right. I don't even know yet whether I need what kind of what does a podiatrist do? Would that be the type of person I need to see? Or
well, it's a foot doctor.
Well, I know it's a foot doctor, but do they take care of broken things? Is what I'm wondering. All right.
You know what? You probably find a general practitioner, and then they can steer you in the right direction. I don't think you should take medical advice from me.
The fine American that is Julie in Seattle writes, Dear Mama and Mook Ensemble, In his weekly address, no one will pay any attention to because they're too busy critiquing White House PR. Chris. President what? Obama went after that nasty clot of Republicans in Congress and their hell no you can't approach to doing their damn jobs. He asked, how am I supposed to keep the recovery going when the Senate won't pass a measly $50 billion to keep broke states from laying off 200,000 or so teachers, cops, and firefighters?
Hell no you can't!
Or extend unemployment for people still because Bush and his pals crashed the economy?
Hell no you can't!
How am I supposed to find time to stop the Japanese whalers when the Senate can't even approve 136 of my damn nominees?
Hell no! You can't!
You all use big whinies over there think this sort of thing might have something to do with why I haven't fixed everything yet?
Hell no, you can't!
All right, I said that, not the president, just to annoy Chris and Jim. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
Normally that's my job. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Wow, is there anybody, any executive at BP that's not a total moron? That's not a... It's kind of hilarious when you think about it. It's a little stoogy, isn't it? That they keep thinking, like, the next guy will be the better spokesperson, and then he immediately does something moronic. They even basically fired Tony Hayward, and he's still able to make this into a bigger PR disaster than it already is.
Yes.
He went yachting? He went to a yacht race over the weekend?
In the pristine waters off the British coast.
Yeah, those waters still look nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Very nice, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, isn't it hilarious? So he said his whatever, oh, yeah, you know, Americans are kind of Sue crazy. He did that, and then he did Like My Life Back.
Yep.
And then they kind of went, yeah, you hush now. So then the other guy said, oh, we're going to take care of the small people. Oh, jeez. So now they, and then they have this other guy, whoever, Dudley, the guy that they put
Bob Dudley.
Yes. So now he went on Fox News and said something even more moronic that, you know, the Gulf Coast better, you know, be nice because they need us or something, or we're the big dog with the, I don't know. All right. So apparently the answer is no. They do not have anyone that is not a moron.
They do not.
BP executive-wise. Jan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Steph. I'm sorry to hear about your foot.
But thank you.
But I do know what kind of doctor you need to go to. You need to go to an orthopedic doctor, a surgeon.
That's because what I'm thinking. My brother-in-law said that if it is broken, they may have to put a pin in or something scary sounding.
Right, yeah. See, I did that to myself. I broke two bones in my foot in December.
Ooh, and how'd you do that?
Oh, I was multitasking. I was walking down the stairs carrying something. So that qualified me to miss the bottom step, and I crunched it.
Stairs are the enemy. I think, you know, what everybody needs to get is one of those Olivia Soprano wheelchairs that just the motorized that goes up and down the stairs.
Or just live in a ranch house.
I have two Pyrenees, and I was lying on the ground writhing, and they both had their noses right in my face like, Mommy, what's wrong? What's wrong?
Yes.
They're adorable.
Yeah, I know. Mine are adorable. They were looking
to help.
They were looking at me like the giant loser that I am. They were kept sniffing my foot and looking up at me and like, yes, Mommy's a moron.
But that's who you need to go see, Steph.
All right. All right. Thank you, honey. Yeah, I went to see the Broadway show Hair this weekend.
Lots of nudity in that show, I hear.
No, not enough for my taste. Only one brief scene. I'm like, that's it? But anyway, I was because I already had the tickets, so I had to go. And so I almost broke the woman's foot that was sitting because I had to walk in, and I was having a hard time walking. Oh. And she had just gotten the boot off because she'd broken her foot. What are the chances?
Oh dear.
I mean, oops, sorry. Isn't that ironic? The woman I was sitting next to at the Broadway show, she goes, "Oh, I just got the boot off. I broke my foot." And she goes, "Oh yeah, you can walk on a broken foot. I did it for a few days before I went. Blah blah blah."
I don't know if it's ironic. I think it's just coincidental.
Yeah. Well, and I almost broke her foot again trying to get to my seat.
Oh, that's
so
a problem.
That was... She was... Pardon me, ma'am. Oops, thank God you still have the boot. All right. So lots to get to. We have some crunchy audio goodness, the latest on the oil spill, and we have a rude pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Appears well rested and enthusiastic. Apparently, ignorance is bliss.
All right, I'm enlisting the aid of everyone that works here now. We have people on the case, Chris. Jessica, our affiliate girl, she's calling her dad's a podiatrist. What are the chances?
I just got an email saying that you should not see a podiatrist in this situation. You need to see an orthopedic surgeon.
Ugh. I'm icing my foot as we speak. Okay.
Have they put a splint on it?
No, I haven't been to a medical professional of any kind yet.
You could break a yardstick in half and put a splint on it yourself, you know.
What is this? Dances with Wolves or something?
I was a Boy Scout. I know these things.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hey, it's Monday. Let's get rude, everybody.
Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa. Your job for the rest of the week is to carry me around in an adult-sized snuggly. Is that all right? Oops, I didn't hit the button right because I'm... Hello, Rude.
Hello. That means you'll be pressed against me all week. That's great.
You?
Yes. Yes. We need one of those face-to-face snugglies.
Ooh, that's nice. I wish I was in the studio with you right now. You could have put your foot up on me and I'd have been massaging your bones right again.
That'll be exciting for people. It's like, hey, isn't that Stephanie Miller strapped to the Rude Pundit?
Or is it just a Stephanie Miller-shaped tumor he grew?
Good morning, your rudeness.
Good morning. You know, I was trying to think of something to apologize to you, so
yes.
I'm going to apologize for the Chicago-style shakedown New York City has given your foot.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, I understand Joe Barton just apologized to England for the revolution and offered to give America back.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, you know what? They can have us.
He apologized to BP for getting our coastline in the way of his oil.
Yes.
How dare we?
Yes.
How dare we?
He apologized to Germany for us getting involved in the whole World War II, mm-hmm. offered to give Poland back. You know, you go ahead. Make up your own.
Oh, sure, sure. You know, it'll get real confusing when you get to the Civil War. Who is he apologizing for or to?
I think I said this on the Ed Show Friday, that my dad, as you know, was a prosecutor in Nuremberg. He actually did interrogate Goering, and I was sort of trying to picture that. But is this a good time for you? I'm so sorry for the rude questions and this whole, you know, Nuremberg shakedown and all. But
Sure. And, yeah, you know, if he'd have been brought – that's right. Imagine Eichmann before a congressional committee. And did you say Eichmann he interrogated just to get –
Yeah, Goering, actually.
Goering, sorry. Imagine – see, yes. The joke didn't work with Eichmann. Eichmann not nearly as funny as Goering.
Right.
Don't know why. It's just a comedy rule.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And how about that Tony Hayward? Wow. What a bunch of boobs they,
oh,
they
my
have
God.
In
you know,
the executive suites.
Even if you want to go on a vacation after a really hard month or so, don't do something ocean-related. Just avoid the ocean completely, you know. Go on a retreat with hookers and meth, you know, and say, this is how I relax. People would understand that.
This is my life that I wanted back. This is it.
This is my life. This is the life I wanted back, hookers and meth. Now you understand why BP is in the situation it's in.
Exactly. Exactly. So you write on the rudepundit.blogspot.com, hey, Republicans, seabaggers, and other right-wing buckets. That's a word. It's something that comes out of men. Okay,
yes.
if this is how you want to play this game, if you want to call the escrow account of Shakedown BP, if you want to give sympathy for the devil, bring it on, motherfuckers. Representative Joe Barton actually demonstrating how to his own... And then some other stuff that is even dirtier.
Yeah.
The GOP has offered an absolute concrete evidence of just who they give a... about international corporations over American states, shareholders around the world over American fishermen, oil over wetlands and wildlife. I mean, that was really the story, don't you think, Rude, in terms of Joe Barton? These are prepared remarks, I think, as Rahm Emanuel said. This is what they think. He just wasn't supposed to say it out loud.
Right, right, right. No, he brought out the backroom talk, although I don't even think so, because every Republican flack after has... many of them have come out and said this is a shakedown. The elected officials have all backed off and went, whoa, okay, this did not test well with our audience. But but Limbaugh...
They sent out a test email, Chris,
how
that didn't go over.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Limbaugh, Gingrich, you know, has gone whole hog on the whole shakedown thing. And I love that it's a classic Chicago Chicago style shakedown. You know, it gets us to think, you know, in Chicago, it's all mobsters, man. That's all it is. There's no mobsters.
Yep. Yep.
You know, there's no mobsters in Louisiana. Oh, no.
No. Well, you know, and you also make a really good point. If Democrats can't turn this into right-wing crushing ads, right, then, you know, they should just cash it in. I mean, all you need is that clip, right?
Right. You just need Joe Barton, and then Joe Barton at some fundraiser, and you've completed the circle of life. Isn't that
it's magic?
Mean, that's what was great about Rahm Emanuel this weekend. And man, did he piss off Sarah Palin?
Did he? I didn't hear that.
Oh yeah, Sarah Palin put out another tweet since she can only think in 140 characters.
Yes. Yeah.
That,
and one sense is that even that might be pushing it for Sarah Palin.
Oh,
don't you think?
Sure.
Oh,
well,
golly, Todd, do I have to? How many more characters do I need?
Oh, since half of what she writes is abbreviations and slashes and the equal sign. it really is. It's like some sort of teabag code that has to be broken. But Rahm Emanuel seemed to be laying out a great strategy for the fall, for that post-August period when they can just start slamming Republicans on this. And it was encouraging to see, okay, we're not going to take advantage of the oil spill.
Right.
We're going to take advantage of what you idiots just said about the oil spill and make you own it, make you
right.
own that.
Right. Yeah, because that I mean, I think is the more damaging thing, like you say, is he's not the only one saying it. This is what they think in Republican circles. And it you know, Frank Rich wrote a great piece on that this weekend that, you know, you absolutely have to use that. This is their, you know, their governing principle is protect corporations. The government's bad. The government can't do anything.
Yeah.
So,
there was that other great article since we're both just advertising for the Times here, but there was another great article in the Times about how business leaders are starting to see Obama as anti-business, which to those of us that are genuinely anti-corporation, that's pretty startling. To that all he has to do is say a minor bad things about a corporation that's destroying the coast, and all of a sudden he's anti-business.
Right. Well, you wrote, I mean, well, in much ruder fashion, shall we say, but you had some similar thoughts to Frank Rich in the sense of, you know, partially this speech being a missed opportunity and, you know, in terms of what he needs to do now. And because I agree that if not now, when? If we can't get clean energy now with the pictures you've got right next to you on the TV of what's happening in the Gulf,
right?
When, right?
And you know, I was thinking since last week, since the big throwdown between you guys over Obama's performance here, I was thinking about, well, what is it exactly that is making us so aggravated about Obama? And I think that it's that so much of his election was about us working hard to get him elected, us all getting engaged in a really intense way.
Yeah, we're like, this has never been about you, it's about us.
And that's it. It's like, tell us what to do. You have us. You're missing that opportunity. He missed it on health care, and he's missing it here. You know, the fact
I'm not as harsh as you are, because I think E.J. Dionne wrote a great piece, Democrats Should Show a Little Pride and Purpose, that I think he has actually accomplished a lot in the face of enormous obstructionism. And so I still think that's an accomplishment that no president has accomplished in, what, 60 years?
I agree with you. I completely agree with you. I think that his record so far is stunning. It's the kind of thing we'd hope to see when Clinton was elected. But I do think that there are things like, just tell us, if he were to have said in that speech, hey, everybody, you know, shut off lights, conserve. Yes, conservatives would have mocked him, but those of us that are still on his side would have said, you're right. You know what? We don't have to go shop like Bush told us after 9/11. We can actually do something here that makes a difference that can prevent this from happening again.
Mm-hmm. Chris, could you take your organ out, please? This is the part of the Rude Pundit's post that has to do with his orders from the Super Duper Prayer Team.
Oh, yes?
Yes, you are on the Family Research Council mailing list, so they tell you, they give you your prayer. You
orders?
Have a prayer target letter, yes.
Yeah, every week.
It actually says, do Americans, even Christians, see the hand of God in the extraordinary judgments we see today? Do we recognize that big government cannot solve our problems but can make them worse? Will we turn our eyes Godward and cry out to him who is our nation's only hope? You're right, that's right. The Family Research Councils believes that God wants the people of Gulf of Mexico, most of whom are church-going Catholics and Baptists, to suffer because big government is bad. unbelievable, right? They will exploit any tragedy, won't they, for their...
Oh, yeah. And of course, the last part of that, of the email is always send us money.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, the Louisiana legislature this weekend made Sunday a day of, statewide day of prayer. That mortals have not been able to do anything. So it's a crisis that remains unaffected by the efforts of mortal man, and whereas we now turn our attention and our prayers and humble ourselves before God. And you know what? Hey, you know, it's as good a solution as any right now.
Yeah, exactly. Your rudeness, I love you. And I will be waiting for you after the show in with the snuggly, because I'll need to be carried for the rest of the week.
Good. And New York will miss you.
Miss you already.
Or maybe just me.
Yeah, the city itself is spinning her out as we speak. So no.
Has rejected me like the bad kidney that I am. All right, your rudeness. See you next week. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye.
There he goes, Lee Papa, the rude pundit. All right, let's get back to the most important subject. Me, Nathaniel in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I got something to tell you. You know, see, your situation is as bad as I did. I was working in Buffalo. I'm going into radio broadcasting. I was working at 88.7 WBFO, NPR, National Public Radio.
A glamorous future awaits you, my son.
Yes, and now I was going back to the Canisius dorms. I was just spending the summer up in Buffalo, and I fall right into the subway system, right onto the couplings of the subway train. And I compound fractured my leg. Now,
how did you do that?
Not paying attention.
You fell onto the subway tracks?
Onto the subway tracks, but right onto the couplings of the subway train. Two people pulled me out.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, that could have ended a lot worse. Wow.
No. Now, see, you're thinking, you said that you might be getting a pin put in your leg. I got plates and screws put into my leg.
Oh, yikes. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling, honey. I feel better now. At least I've not fallen into the subway tracks.
Well, Stephanie, you might want to wait until after you get back to L.A. to get the pin or plates put in your foot, because you still have to go through airport security. You're going to set it off.
And then I end up, that'll be the ending to my trip to New York. I'll end up in Gitmo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Uh-huh. All right. 46 minutes. Ironic, since I'm one of the president's biggest defenders.
Uh-huh.
Just weird. Mm-hmm. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Sorry, just taking care of my disastrous life during the break. Don't worry. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my dog walker to do. She's 2 walks. I just, you know, New York, thank God, has been expensive, so it's just going to be a little more expensive on the way out.
Just think, beginning Friday, you can just let the dogs out. Or they can go out by themselves.
Only one of them, because as you recall, I can only get one of them home this week. Okay, 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
You're a mess.
F12, the phone number. Toll free. No, the, yes, you know, the dog walker needs to stay here with Max. Okay. Fortunately, I'm not stressed out at all. 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Yes, sir.
Maybe the dog that's left there. Which one is it, Max?
Max. Because they had to get the plane from Dumbo Drop to get him, remember?
Well,
they literally have to get a different crate and reconfigure the plane because he's too big.
Well, I'll look on the bright side. Maybe he can, you know, get in a movie with Kevin Bacon and be 1 degree from Kevin Bacon.
Is Kevin Bacon doing a dog movie?
I don't.
His dog walker is watching my dog. Okay, let's go to Mary in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to let you know what you need to do for your foot. Is it the ankle part or?
No, it's the foot itself. It's very bruised on top of my foot and underneath.
Well, you know, the rules are ice to elevate and and don't walk on it if you can. If you can walk on your heel, you can do that. And if you want to just use one crutch, you can use the crutch on the opposite side.
Yes, yes. The crutches were not were not that helpful. Who knew? It's hard to walk 220-pound dogs on crutches. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, if you have to, even just use a cane or something, but use it on the opposite side to take the weight away from that foot.
All right. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Mary.
A cane. Oh my God! You're going to be walking with a cane. What is a walker next?
No, all of your old jokes have come true. And come home with a dowager's hump on, with a cane.
You're going to have a walker with tennis balls on the end of it.
I come back to the LA studio. Do I look any worse for the wear for having moved to New York? All right. Can I have my fine American music? This was the E.J. Dionne piece I referred to. I like my liberals happy clappy, Chris. Hal Sparks going to be back this week?
No, he's actually in Kentucky this week, so he's going to be calling in.
Oh, all right. I'll take a phone call. Fine. All right. E.J. Dionne writes in the Washington Post, Democrats should feel a lot better than they do. They enacted a health care bill that has been their dream for more than 60 years. They pulled the country out of a terrifying economic spiral. They are on the verge of passing the biggest reform of Wall Street since the New Deal. The public has identified enemies that are typically seen as Republican allies, oil companies and big banks. And given the Republicans' past policies, the Gulf of Mexico oil spills at least much of their problems as Obama's. On top of this, the GOP seems to be doing all it can to make itself unelectable, veering far to the right. Seriously, could they choose crazier candidates?
No.
Rand Paul and, what's her name? Sharon Angle. Too crazy for even Sarah Palin to endorse, for God's sakes. Carly, so yesterday, Fiorina, Meg, I shoved my Asian underling employees, Whitman.
So yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. And so was your political career. Anyway, oh, where was I? Oh, on top of all this, embracing the Tea Party movement, that at its extremes preaches the need for a revolution. That sounds more like the old new left than a reinvigorated conservatism. And, oh, yes, what can you think of one thing Republicans stand for right now other than cutting spending? Never mind that they are conspicuously vague about what they cut, yet it's Democrats who are petrified, uncertain, and hesitant. And this was true before the oil spill made matters worse. Obama's bold rhetoric about the need to end America's century-long addiction to fossil fuels was not matched by specifics because he knows that nearly a dozen Senate Democrats are skittish about acting. See, that's the problem, Chris. What? It's not him. It's the conservative, demo weenies. Those, the whatever those.
Blue
the
dogs.
Ones in the, yes. Why does it, blah, 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 where am I? Why does it so often seem that Republicans are full of passionate intensity while Democrats lack all conviction? It's because of you two. You two moogs.
Oh, yeah, it's because of Jim and me.
62% of Republicans in Democratic districts describe themselves as very enthusiastic about the upcoming election compared with only 37% of Democrats recent poll. Paranoia is striking deep among Democrats, and this poll will only aggravate the disorder in those competitive districts. Democratic incumbents will be tempted to hunker down, distance themselves from the president, and urge their leaders to be cautious and run for the hills to seek refuge from a looming Republican wave. E.J. Dionne in the Washington Post. Obama is often criticized for being too professorial. The irony is that Republicans who have little to say about how to solve the nation's major problems are dominating the country's underlying philosophical narrative. From Plaquemines Parish to Wall Street, we're seeing what happens when government takes too hands-off an approach to the private economic actors, yet the GOP is managing to sell the idea that the big issue in this election should be government spending. Professor Obama and his allies ought to be ashamed of this. The cure for malaise is to have a self-confident sense of purpose and to act boldly in its pursuit.
That's right!
What if the Republicans don't like us? Oh, no.
I'm just not buying the whole idea that they're having this big resurgence. I think once
you
look at the people they're voting for, it's holy crap.
Yeah, exactly. Maria in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Stephanie. As somebody who stepped wrong on the sidewalk and broke her foot 10 weeks ago, I just had to call you.
Oh.
So I.
How do you know if it's broken? How do you know if it's broken or it's just, I don't know.
I went to get an X-ray.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So basically, I went to get an X-ray. They put a splint on it for about a week or so. I had to be on crutches completely for a week, which was horrible.
Yeah.
Then I went to an orthopedic doctor. They gave me one of those boot things for about a month or so, and at least you could walk with that. So.
Yes, what I've heard. I hear good things about the boot, and also it's better
cool.
to And also, it's better to kick mook ass with, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's, yeah. It's big.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Stephanie, you're going to a highfalutin cocktail party tonight. Strappy heels don't look good with a boot.
No, I'm going to a cocktail party with a giant boot on tonight is what I'm doing.
No.
Oh.
I don't think we fit over Uggs. Hello.
I'm a bigger loser than when we last talked on Friday. Hello. 58
loser,
minutes after.
Hello.
58 minutes after the hour. Speaking of losers, back with Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Barely. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. It's like it's a doctor's show now. Margaret in Asheville, you broke your foot too?
Yes, I did. I went to the beach and was walking on the bike path at night and stepped off it wrong and broke my fifth metatarsal. And I'll just tell you that I'm on the seventh week. There's a chip of it that's still off. I have 6 more weeks before they tell me if I have surgery. And the boots they wear, make you wear, are ugly.
I'm not in an ugly sort of way.
It will not match my other UGG, is what you're saying?
No, because it's higher, so you will be able to wear heels tonight if they put you in it. And I like to wear heels, so it kind of worked out so you didn't walk around like you were a jackleg, you know.
Oh, terrific. All right, Margaret. Wow, that sounds fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Mama had a little mishap. Calamity Steph did over the weekend. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, look, it's another one from the fine American that is Julie from Seattle. She's my wing woman on this whole.
Mm-hmm.
Staff, for all the left-wing Kyles and right-wing dupes lamenting that Obama should have called in the other oil companies to clog the leak, it would behoove us to remember the biggest oil company, Exxon chief, testified last week that they can neither prevent or clean up spills, not their thing. Yeah, I love that was kind of their testimony. Not really our thing.
Well, then why are they in the business?
None of his oil executive brothers in slime, also on the panel, piped up to differ. Bart Stupak sussed out that of the 633-page Exxon disaster plan included 40 pages on PR, but only 5 pages on prevention. And 9 on cleanup, 14 pages out of 633. So much for Jim Ward's hindsight argument that Exxon and cohorts would have provided an impartial measure of the oil spewing from the gusher if only Obama had rung them up.
I'm
just saying.
They could have provided an impartial viewing of the disaster, given us a better idea of exactly what's going on down there.
Different
doesn't mean they could fix it.
Yeah, but they all cover up for each other.
No, they don't. It's BP's financial loss. I mean, Exxon would be gloating over that, I would think.
I don't know. It's I'm going yachting. All right. Eric Bollard is here. It's time for Right Wing World, everybody. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the Right Wing World.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Eric Bollard, who was not yachting, he was working, writing, doing the Lord's work. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
I got to tell you, I loved your piece about, I feel like I'm the only one that gets how irritating it is that, how much blame Obama seems to be taking in this oil spill. I mean, your piece was so great about the Exxon Valdez, which at the time was the biggest environmental disaster in U.S. history. George Bush Sr., there was not a peep in the media, right, about anything being
amazing.
His fault.
He was a total non-player, invisible. Nobody cared what he thought. Nobody cared whether he was emoting properly. Nobody cared about a White House stagecraft over any of this stuff. He never went to Alaska. He never went on TV. He never met with the CEO of Exxon. He never did anything.
Right. The government did nothing for the cleanup, right? Essentially.
Yeah, and the press didn't think he – the press did not – approach the Exxon Valdez story as if the President of the United States is a central player or perhaps the responsible player, which, as I said in my piece, sort of makes sense. I sort of understand why the press wasn't banging down on the White House door wondering what the president was going to do about Exxon's spill. But, boy, it's weird to look how, from day one, literally.
Especially odd because George Bush was intimately connected with
the oil
industry.
That's right.
Well, yes.
He never changed his policy about offshore drilling anything. I mean, I pointed out in the New York Times, if the month after the spill, there was one article that had four mentions of Exxon Valdez and Bush. And if you go to a month after BP, I found almost three mm-hmm. dozen mm-hmm. articles that had, you know, four mentions of BP and Obama.
You know what?
By the way, you point out that, you know, NBC Nightly News, you know, it's supposed to be, I suppose, the bastion of the quote-unquote liberal media, right? You talk about they air one of the reports about the disaster. In it, Lisa Myers examined what the government knew and about how bad the leak could be and how much they told the public, as Brian Williams put it. The report leaned heavily on the question of whether the Obama administration leveled with the public about the severity of the spill. The rather breathless nightly news segment with lots of what did he know and when did he know what implication perfectly captured the news media's somewhat odd obsession virtually from day one of this disaster with making Obama a central figure, if not the responsible player. I mean, I have to ask you, what do you draw from it? I hate to jump to conclusions, but why?
Well,
why did George Bush Sr. get a pass on
Exxon
Valdez?
Well, I think it's a different media landscape. I think the fact that Katrina happened, I think it did raise the question of what do we presidents do during national emergency or natural disasters. But that in and of itself does not explain. I think this Beltway press, has had it in for Obama. They've really been clinging to this narrative that his presidency is unraveling. He's the new Jimmy Carter, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it really played into the story they wanted to tell about sort of a detached president, an aloof president, someone who wasn't in touch. And obviously, I think the right wing noise machine has played a key role in putting Obama as the villain in all of this.
And
we saw last week, we'll probably discuss of these clips, you know, they're now siding with BP versus America. So they've wanted to really crucify Obama on this from day one. And the press, I think, has unfortunately been also
Can you even imagine what would have happened on Fox News if a Democrat had apologized to a foreign corporation for wow.
Yeah.
I mean, but Eric, this is the thing you and I talk about all the time, that you know, that there just is no such thing as a liberal media. In fact, if anything, there's an opposite, because I feel like they get so oversensitive to being called liberal and Obama worshippers and all that, that they go out of their way. And I don't know whether to drag race into it, but you go, there is something different here in this this Tea Party movement and all of this you know, is it race? Is it that I just have not seen this level
of
vitriol?
I think with the Tea Party thing, there is obvious. I certainly think there is an element of race, and that's one of the things that's freaked them out. In terms of the Beltway press, I think it's pretty similar. If you go back to the early first year or two of the Clinton presidency, we saw the exact same thing. It's all Clinton's fault. It's all the Democrats' fault. They're not up to prime time. He's incompetent. And in both cases, there's a complete detachment, because in both cases, the public seems to be perfectly happy in terms of job approval rating, of how the Democratic presidents are doing. But the press is absolutely committed to pounding the narrative that they're incompetent.
And yet you'd think, here's the one thing we could all be happy about as Americans, that, you know, the president voluntarily got a foreign corporation to give $20 billion at the start to Americans whose lives have been ruined. I know. Well, let's dive into Right Wing World, because that's oddly not the case. I know you're shocked. Judge Andrew Napolitano on Fox and Friends.
He walked in and basically said, give us the $20 billion or we will take it from you.
That's right.
That is a classic shakedown, the threat to do something that you don't have the right to do.
They weren't obligated by law to do it.
Correct. And the Fifth Amendment, remember the Constitution? Joe Biden took an oath to uphold it.
Right.
It says if the government wants your life, your liberty, or your property, it has to sue you for it on the basis of laws that already exist. It can't write new laws and come after you on the basis of those.
There's no due process.
There's no due process. There's no right for the government to take this money.
So BP is an American citizen, apparently.
Wow.
What's fascinating about all this, I mean, we've heard this nonstop since last week on Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, shakedown, it's criminal. Nobody, and I mean nobody, in BP is making this claim. You cannot find a single on or off-the-record quote from anyone associated with BP that's claiming that they were the victim of a shakedown, they were bullied, there was extortion. This is a complete fabrication. They're just making it up in Fox News because they like the sound of it. No one associated with BP has made this claim.
I think
it's really amazing.
Happy to get away with only 20 million.
Yeah,
20 million.
Also, as we just blogged at Media Matters, front page story on the Wall Street Journal today about the negotiations between BP and the White House.
Right.
And the sort of what comes from that story is the BP was able to beat back a lot of the things the White House originally wanted. They didn't just roll over. They didn't just give in to what everything the White House said. This was their agreed upon settlement, and BP feels like they dodged a couple bullets and told the White House, no, we're not going to do that. Completely debunks this sort of shakedown myth.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was on Larry King with Ben Stein last week, and he's like, ah, oh, Stephanie, I don't know why we have to choose Pelicans over the Constitution. I'm like, what?
Here's what's fascinating about this is that when push sort of comes to shove, if you touch or if the government lays a hand on big oil, just like the government sort of wanted to lay a hand on big insurance last summer, you know, the so-called populist movement on the right just absolutely revolts on behalf of big business.
It's not often I can be surprised by something in right-wing world, Eric, but when he got this settlement, I thought, well, wow, that's friggin' great. Like, there's no way they're going to criticize this. I'm like, oh, my God, I was wrong.
What does the Constitution say about suing foreign companies?
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
Or voluntarily setting up escrows to pay damage for something that you're clearly responsible for.
Right.
In fact, even BP's oil industry partner, one of the partners that owned the rig, put out a statement over the weekend just absolutely obliterating BP, saying it was reckless, didn't pay attention to safety, clearly to blame. And this is what Fox News is defending.
Yep. All right, and here's Mark Levin saying the same thing, but only in those much more soothing tones that we love.
This fund that the president has forced BP to create is a shakedown. I mentioned it the other day. I was the first one to mention it the other day. It's a shakedown. Obama is a one-man wrecking ball. I've said it many times, and I'll continue to say it. We must defend the Constitution. We must defend the rule of law in the face of an increasingly tyrannical administration.
Was he reporting from the far side of the moon?
I was going to say, he has an annoying voice and really bad audio equipment to amplify it.
Well, I mean, this goes back to the Joe Barton apology last week, and that really, I did think, pulled the curtain back, and it really let everyone see Levin and Limbaugh and Fox News, they're all part of the sort of Tea Party movement, and they're all driven by two principles, which is hating Obama and worshiping big business. I mean, that's all this movement is about.
Yeah, it was not an oopsie, Joe Barton. It was just that it was supposed to remain in the thought bubble. That was the only problem.
But the right-wing bloggers and talk radio rushed to defend Barton and said, absolutely right, we should apologize to BP. It really shows you just
Because that's
far
the real tragedy.
They are.
Yeah, that's the real tragedy in this whole thing, what's being done to BP. All right, Eric Boldert remains in the sidecar as we continue with Right-Wing World. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I guess I'm leaving this week, so it's too late to put me in traction here in New York studio, Chris. What do you think?
Why do you need traction?
That's for your back.
I'm supposed to elevate my foot while
traction's for your back, like Jim said.
However, I do have an appointment with a podiatrist now. The Dial Global Syndication team is on it.
Orthopedic surgeon probably is.
Yeah,
I got
an email saying that you should see an orthopedic surgeon most definitely first. And
Yeah. Well, they can x-ray and they can give me a boot and whatever. All right. Enough of my medical malady.
I think New York gave you the boot.
Yeah.
Hey! Hey! Why? That'd be so much funnier if I weren't me.
True.
All right. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America. All right. If only I'd broken my foot, Erica, kicking Michael Savage's ass. But sadly, such is not the case. Michael Savage.
All these Congress vermin do is threaten people and sue people. The Democrats have held a Stalinist show trial against BP. But what they've really done here is pass the buck. They're very, very clever devils indeed. What they've done is put the entire blame, that is 100% of the blame, on BP rather than on the Obama administration.
Wow.
Wow.
Who ever come to that conclusion?
A Stalinist show trial, Eric.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, the right-wing media worships at the altar of big business. And even after BP does what it does, they still think BP has all the answers and the government doesn't. They still think BP knows what it's doing, and the idea that the government should hold them responsible is so assaulting to them that we're seeing this sort of collective freakout. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And, you know, it's funny. You know, we sort of all laughed last year, like when the U.S. lost the Olympic bid and the right-wing media freaked out, and that was sort of weird and funny. And there's been other times since where they've clearly chosen, the side of that wasn't America.
But whatever makes Obama lose is a win for them.
This is just deranged. I mean, you're going to side with BP over America at this point. I mean, and again, as I said, it just pulls back the curtain and really shows everyone what's really at play here.
I think the most important thing I got out of that is I could have made a lot of money had I financed a Broadway play called Stalinist Show Trial.
Yeah.
I think I'll still check into that. Erica Erickson on the John King USA show.
I mean, I think it was a shakedown. No doubt British Petroleum cooperated in it. It was just like yesterday was a show trial in Congress. This is what politicians do. Barack Obama had to save face. He had to get BP in there. But, you know, while everyone's talking about him saying apologize to BP, everyone's forgetting that Barack Obama is the largest single recipient of BP campaign dollars. You know, a week from now, we're not going to be talking about Joe Barton. We're going to be talking about the fact that the oil is still leaking into the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, and, by the way, there was that little right-wing lie in there about the BP contributions.
Right. I think it's infinitesimal in terms of the money that Obama raised. And the idea that it came from the executives or the PAC is totally false. It came from employees. So Erickson is complaining that a week from now, the oil is still going to be spilling out into the Gulf. Therefore, we should not be holding BP accountable this week. Okay. We should not. This whole thing, what's amazing is it obviously makes clear that Obama can do nothing right?
Yep.
So he hasn't held anyone responsible, so now he gets $20 billion from BP, and that's the wrong – he's done absolutely the wrong thing.
Yes. We should pay them $20 billion.
We're never told what Obama should be doing, but we're constantly told what he shouldn't be doing in terms of the spill. And obviously getting $20 billion set aside to pay damages was totally the wrong thing
right.
to do.
Yes, clearly.
What was he thinking?
Yes. People clearly making the people of the Gulf whole bad.
That's
wrong.
Right.
All right, Glenn Beck on the Fox Business Channel.
They will use an emergency to fundamentally transform this country into something that you won't recognize. When all is said and done, they will need to control the people because the people will be hungry. Mm. The people will be frightened, and there will be a civil unrest.
He's exactly describing what Bush did to the country after 9/11.
That's,
wow. Project much?
Yeah. And besides that, Eric, I love this is part of the, Obama's evil plan is complete now. That's what he really wanted was to own banks and car companies. And now an oil company. It's exactly what he wanted, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what they've been saying. Limbaugh has been saying it. This is part of we're back to the Manchurian candidate. This is all part of a purposeful plan to destroy America from within. This is not. They don't think small. I mean, this is
no.
Big,
well, this is why the president.
One.
This is why he blew up the well in the first place,
that's
as
right.
we all know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
so he's not
finish.
Playing chess. He's playing Monopoly.
Let's finish with Wrongy McWrongerson, Bill Kristol.
His own Interior Secretary says something about keeping his foot on the throat of BP, which doesn't sound like standing up to anyone. It sounds like bullying. It's not healthy for the country and for the economy as a whole for the president to bully different companies and different industries, and I think it's not helping us.
Oh, God. So he's not strong enough, or he's too strong.
Right.
Right. No,
the Goldilocks.
There's no,
again,
just
this,
right.
This,
yeah.
This is the point that everyone should take away. You, the big business cannot be held responsible, cannot be touched or criticized. And when they do, the right-wing media just lashes out like you wouldn't believe on behalf of someone like
right.
BP. It's just amazing.
Yep, absolutely. Eric Bollert, once again, doing the Lord's work for Media Matters. See you next week, sir.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. All right.
Well, yeah. The Japanese were right to attack us at Pearl Harbor. What were you thinking?
You're being mean to them. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If I hadn't gone into microbiology, I probably would have gone into physics or ice dancing.
Not with your foot.
Sadly, my ice dancing career is on hold for now. With my little crumpled sparrow foot.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Tommy in Columbus writes, because as you recall, on Mama's way into New York, I almost lost an eye. You remember
That's right.
Hit my eye in the fireplace mantle, and he said if you hurt your eye again and wear an eye patch, you could go for the pirate look on the way home. And there's a picture. I couldn't actually have a peg leg and an eye patch.
An eye patch. All you need is a parrot.
Can I get the parrot on the plane is all I want.
Arr.
Thank you, Jim. That's my point. All right. Dr. Carlos in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Doc.
Hey, how you doing today, Stephanie?
That's a good.
Good. All right, here. Well, I'm just calling to let you know that you do need to get the foot looked at and get it x-rays. And
yes, I am, after the show. Yes.
Okay, as a supportive physician, I recommend that you ice it, keep it elevated, and you probably will get that boot that you're talking about.
Yes, I'm very looking forward to the boot. At least I have something to look forward to today, Jim. And you know me, it's a fate worse than death that I can't exercise. It's like I might as well just, you know.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
Stop it.
Okay.
He is a doctor. Listen very carefully to his instructions.
Listen very carefully. Listen to me very carefully.
That's what I did wrong. I didn't put the candle back and see my revolving bookcase knocked me down the stairs.
Yeah.
And that's what happened there.
Perhaps you need some Ovaltine.
Perhaps he can help me with the hump on my foot. Okay, Jim.
Yes.
I have a guest
report.
It's Monday.
With that hump. What hump?
Listen to me very carefully. I need you to ice it and elevate it.
Stop it.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. It's Monday, Jim. That's the clue. Who said Obama could explain to the country exactly what the other side is offering as an alternative to his governance? Non-governance that gives even more clout to the irresponsible corporate giants like BP. As our most popular national politician, Obama still has power within his White House and with the public to effect change should he exercise it. Who said that?
Kim Jong-il. Who very, very angry right now because Korea are 7-0 to Portugal. Oh, it's a tragedy.
No?
Thank you for getting soccer and Kim Jong-il in there, but no, it was Frank Rich from the New York Times.
Okay.
Showing exactly how constructive criticism can be done of the president without doing the right wing's work for them. Not
you
the
didn't
present
read
company,
the whole
except
article.
For the
no, you didn't read the whole article, did you?
Yes, I did. When Rand Paul defended BP against Salazar's threat to keep a boot on the company's neck, he was not speaking as some oddball libertarian outlier. His views are mainstream. His conservative in his conservative cohort, traditional Republican calls for limited government have given way to radical cries for abolishing many of our modern government's essential tasks. Paul has called for the elimination of the Department of Education, the Federal Reserve, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and by the way, as a new American with a disability, I highly resent that. Oh, where was I? Oh, sorry. Sorry, I got all excited. You get the idea. The newest GOP star, Sharon Engel, the victor in this month's Republican senatorial primary in Nevada, has also marked the Energy Department, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Veterans Affairs, Social Security, Medicare for either demolition or privatization. Pertinently enough, Engel has also called for processing highly radioactive nuclear waste at Nevada's Yucca Mountain. If Americans abhor poorly regulated deepwater oil drilling, wait until you get a load of nuclear waste on land with no regulatory agency in charge at all. Who said that?
Kim Jong-nam.
And not Pat Hun Sen either. Frank Ridge in the New York Times, another fabulous article entitled Clean the Gulf, Clean House, and Clean Their Clock. Okay, finally, Jim, who said, while the greatest environmental disaster in history is a trying juncture for Obama, it also provides him with a nearly unparalleled opening to make his and the government's case. The spill's sole positive benefit has been to unambiguously expose the hard right for all its populist pandering to the Tea Partiers as a stalking horse for the most rapacious corporate patrons. Who said that?
Hong Yong-joo.
He's a captain of the North Korean soccer team.
No. Someone's been watching World Cup all weekend. Frank Ridge in the New York Times, not reading their New York Times, apparently. Fine American Frank Ridge finishes up by saying, when Joe Barton, the ranking Republican on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, yeah, he's the ranking Republican on energy.
He's pretty rank.
Yes. Revived Rand Paul's defense of BP last week for apologizing on camera to Hayward for the tragedy of the White House's $20 billion shakedown. Oh, the GOP establishment had to shut him down because he was revealing the party's true royal loyalties, not because it disagreed with him. Barton was merely echoing Michelle Bachmann, who labeled the $20 billion fund redistribution of wealth fund, and the 100-plus other House members who Republican Study Committee had labeled the $20 billion Chicago-style shakedown only a day before Barton did.
Huh.
These tribunes of the anti-government right and their Tea Party auxiliaries are clamoring for a new revolution to take back America, after which we now can see they would hand over to America to the likes of BP or let Deepwater Horizon be ground zero for a 9/11 showdown over the role of government. There couldn't be a riper moment for Obama, as a man once sent, to bring it on. Frank Rich in another fabulous New York Times piece. All right, Thad, Admiral Thad this weekend.
This is a significant improvement moving forward. However, we know because of the new flow rate numbers that we need to increase capacity.
Does anybody have any idea what that meant?
Over the weekend, it was announced that even more oil than what we thought was gushing out of...
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So BP kind of lied to us again.
They're just they're bad at math, aren't they? And PR.
Yeah.
And drilling, as it turns out. And cleanup.
I wonder how long it's going to last. I mean, how big is this oil field that's spewing?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that's...
Could this
that's
go on for decades?
I thought I saw somewhere, Jim, did you see that they think there may be cracks beginning on the, ocean floor itself, that oil is leaking?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, wow.
I saw Jim, some video that looked like it was showing just that. It was bad quality, but it kind of looked like we could see oil leaking out from the ocean floor.
Oh, dear.
We're like, I was like, oh, Jim may be, you know what, that's the thing. Jim will be right about the one,
the worst
about
possible,
the one thing that he won't be around
scenario.
To enjoy, that this will be an extinction-level event. And it'll be, see, I told you. Oh, all right, and now we're all gone.
Will I still have a job after that?
Somewhere,
presumably. He'll be minister of cleanup.
He'll be Satan's handmaiden.
Oh, great.
All right, James Buddy Caldwell, a Louisiana Attorney General.
Louisiana is bleeding. Planet Earth is bleeding from off the Louisiana coast.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Let's go to Jeff in Orange County on the spill. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to make a report to Jim real quickly, and then if you don't mind, I'd like to say something about Barton. But, Jim, please don't fall into the right-wing talking point that any of the other oil companies have anything but a vested interest in minimizing this as well. This isn't inter-oil company competition, illustrated by the fact that it's not a moratorium on BP drilling. It's a moratorium on all oil.
Yeah, that's
drilling.
Right. Yeah, they have an interest.
Exactly.
I probably shouldn't say this today, but you know how sometimes doctors cover for each other? Except for the one I'm going to see later after the show, not that one.
But on Barton, I'd like to just say that everybody out there should realize that if the Republicans get in at the midterms, that's the man that's going to be chairing that committee, and that's the type of thing we can expect from them. Apologies to foreign countries. They'll be the Hessians of the revolution.
Yeah.
God, and by the way, did you see Rand Paul not only feels bad for BP now he feels bad for Joe Barton as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, where's my tiny violin? Mm-hmm. Rand Paul offered his sympathies to Barton, saying he knows what it's like to be piled on. While he stopped short of endorsing Barton's point of view, he suggested that the criticism of Barton was over the top and said Barton should be given the chance to explain himself.
He has.
See
plenty.
What we did there, Jim? We misconstrued his misconstruction.
Mm-hmm,
you see?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Paul joins, of course, a host of conservative pundits who have come to Barton's defense, praising his courage and legitimate points. Meanwhile, the right-wing media's fearless leader, Rush Limbaugh, threw his weight.
Well, it's considerable weight.
Yeah. Behind Barton as well. Limbaugh repeatedly called the fund a shakedown and worried that it was a plot by Obama to redistribute that money to Acorn, which no longer exists. Number one.
Through no fault of their own.
Yeah. Limbaugh said the shakedown showed the Obama regime was behaving like a branch of organized crime.
Whatever. Okay, so they're either communists or organized crime. Those two things are not compatible.
Charles in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charles.
Yeah, good morning. You know, these words like shakedown or slush fund, they flow so easily from the lips of Joe Barton and Tom Price. So I'm wondering if they, have any experience in this area, shaking down oil companies themselves for their own political aspirations.
Maybe that's how they got the original money from BP.
Yeah.
So there goes Tony Hayward, who, by the way, as it turns out, we were not charmed by his little Geico lizard voice last week. And
well, the Geico lizard is a bit more cockney. It's very working class, actually.
Yeah, and that's Tony, definitely not Tony Hayward.
Tony is not of that ilk at all.
Thurston went yachting this weekend, which oddly made some people kind of angry. He was spotted attending a prestigious yacht race. He was spotted by photographers on his yacht named Bob.
Bob?
That part of it just cracked me up. So who names their yacht Bob?
Bob. Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
Well, it does, in fact, Bob on the ocean.
On the pristine ocean off the coast of Great Britain.
At the moment, it is pristine. I don't believe that will be the case much longer.
The story from the Gulf Coast, it could have been a turnaround week in BP's campaign to convince the public it's doing everything possible. The company pledged to set aside $20 billion. Blah, blah, blah.
I want my yacht
back. They
faced
renewed anger on Saturday over the reports of Tony Hayward yachting on Bob. BP spokespeople rushed to defend Hayward, of course.
Of course they did.
Mm-hmm. They said he's spending a few hours with his family on a weekend. I'm sure that everyone would understand that.
No, as it turns out, no.
Why don't you have Bob go suck up some oil in the coast? How about that?
Yeah. That's what the governor of Alabama suggested.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he most
certainly
did.
Did they send Bob on over?
Yes.
Maybe Bob is the one ship that we're short that would turn this whole thing around.
Maybe all Bob right. would get struck by lightning as well.
I'm thinking Bob would.
One could only hope.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back with all the latest on The Spill as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
What you gonna do with all that junk inside your trunk?
I'ma get you drunk, get you love drunk off my hump. My hump, 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 my lovely little lump.
Stephanie Miller.
Especially the one on my foot. I have a club foot now.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Tommy in Columbus asks if it is the foot with the hammer toe, and yes, it is. Indeed, it is. It is. Mm-hmm.
You are sounding more and more attractive every day.
That's what he says. He says a flipper with a hammer toe on it, very attractive.
Got a combination of a club and a hammer.
I think I've just caused finally the dissolution of the Stephanie Miller Foot Fetish Club, Chris. That's existed since my late night TV.
That's right.
Still, it's better to be a hammer than a nail.
Didn't you oblige them at one point? You took off your shoes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to see this thing, whatever's at the end of my leg right now. Bob in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah,
hi, Bob.
I want to tell you about an insurance claim that a friend of mine handled one time about a woman who climbed up on her dresser, bent over to look in the mirror to check out her hemorrhoids, and fell off the dresser and broke her arm.
All right. I didn't really need that little story.
Is that how it really happened?
Why?
I wish I had as interesting a story as that vicar that had to have a potato removed from his bum because he said he was hanging curtains and he fell
naked
on a potato.
Yeah,
that was on the table,
which happened to be standing upright.
My story, not that interesting.
No.
Okay, let's go to Jeff in Chicago.
We need to make up a story that's a lot more interesting than your current one.
Then I missed a step and broke my foot. I don't know. All right, Jeff in Chicago.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hello, go ahead.
Great. I'm reading this from a June 17th Associated Press article in the Christian Science Monitor about how much oil is left in the reservoir. It's a really brief piece, but it basically says there's 2.1 billion gallons left, and so far only about 3% has leaked.
Wow.
So 97% is left, which they say if it at the current rate, 2 to 4 more years of leaking if it can't be stopped.
Wow. Yeah, what happens if the relief well doesn't work? I mean, I know it's a pretty high probability that
you know,
it will, right?
In charge of it, Halliburton. So what can
possibly go wrong there?
But isn't it Halliburton the one that was pushing for more safety measures?
In this particular case, yeah. Although they've done a lot of shoddy work.
They really have,
I mean,
but
you know.
In this case, they're not nearly as evil as BP.
Whoever thought there'd be a company that could make Halliburton look like not the evil company? You got to give it to BP. Make Halliburton look like the good guys. Can I have my high school educational film strip, please? You know, in my ongoing fight with the MOOCs over the president's handling of the oil spill, I've had to hire a free auxiliary producer, Julie in Seattle, to arm me with, facts for the naysayer chorus.
Opinions.
Yeah, because you guys used Tom Hartman against me, because I don't, have nearly
Tom
the book learning.
Tom Hartman is a lot more smart than you are.
More smart?
He's
I'm a lot more grammatically correct than you.
Grammatically?
Morally smarter.
Don't misconstruct me. Fun facts for Mama Defense Arsenal. Mama, okay, everybody thinks Obama is no FDR. Interestingly, if you're talking about the Tom Hartman version of FDR, neither was FDR. His powerful populist rhetoric and love for the common man were not the only reasons he got things done. Have a look at the congressional majorities he had to work with below. Holy cow, he had huge majorities. If Obama had those numbers, we'd be in the land of milk and honey. Also overlooked by Tom Hartman in his rhapsodic odes to FDR. Rhapsodic.
Oh,
all right, you know what I mean.
Rhapsodic.
Is the 3 years of frustration he endured upon taking office. Everything he got passed in the first 3 years ran head into a conservative, business-oriented Supreme Court. The New Deal was frustrated at every turn until the infamous court-packing suggestion, which assisted in changing their approach to judicial review. Tom Hartman, God bless him, as Joe Biden's mother would say, like many liberals, romanticizes the New Deal era. It was a much harder slog than people assume, and the patience and confidence of Americans in those days make us look like first-class wimps. Check out the unemployment rates they had to put up for how long. 3 years into the FDR administration, it was still at 16.9%.
Well, part of the problem was he listened to the deficit hawks and put the brakes on the New Deal, and that's when things started to go in reverse.
Well, see, that makes me feel better. Had you been on a radio show back then, you would have been also a naysaying mook.
Yes, you would have also been giving fireside chats.
The president has done the wrong thing.
There wouldn't have been any chick hosting a radio show, though.
Oh,
I would have been
knocked
up and in the kitchen, so, you know.
You're barely having the vote.
I wouldn't have a vote or a radio show at that point. But I'm just saying, at least Jim would be consistent. Pat in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pat.
Hey, good morning, Steph. Great show.
Thank you, sir.
The one thing I find many things disturbing about the Obama response, and I voted for Barack, and I like him, and I would probably vote for him again, but the fact that he's played golf like 7 to 10 times since the crisis began, isn't that a little bit like yachting?
No.
I don't, that's the one thing. Jim, I don't really get the, you know what I mean? The president clearly isn't expected. I mean, what's he supposed to be doing? Down there with his finger in the pipe? I mean,
The thing is, they're referencing the George Bush thing where he said he was going to give up golf. That was a big sacrifice. And even that was a lie.
It's not quite the same thing. He's the one that drew attention to it. I don't think I should be playing golf while troops are dying. And then it was like, please.
Yeah. I have to say, it doesn't look good, but at least he's staying in D.C. monitoring things instead of going to his prefabricated vacation home.
So, no, I mean, I think presidents need,
they need some
R&R. Release. But,
it's not like he's completely out of touch when he's on the golf course. I mean, if there's a national emergency, boom, he's gone,
to
wherever he needs to be.
And at least he's, staying near D.C.
Yeah, I'm sure that they can afford to rent a cart when the president plays golf. Oh, no, he's walking. It's going to take us an hour to run out there and tell him stuff.
A cart to go to Marine One.
Exactly. All right. Karl Heinrich von Berg the BP chairman.
It is clear that Tony has made remarks that have upset people.
Yeah, so have you, you moron.
When I said they talked about the small people, people thought I was talking about garden gnomes.
Yeah, the Travelocity gnome.
Am I going to die?
Yeah, I love that's what he said. That Tony's upset people, so I'll be in charge now. And then he's, no, you're a moron too with
I
your
will
small people.
Tell you that the small people have nothing to fear from BP. They're very nice people, you know. They might draw on you an oil, but it'll be very tasty oil.
So, oh, the new BP moron, by the way, was on with Greta Van Susteren. And Greta said, your company, let's see, she said, she noted the oil giant has been taking some heat because of the oil spill. Nothing gets past that Greta, does it?
No.
Dudley agreed his company's critics should be careful because Gulf Coast residents are dependent on BP. Oh, this guy just as good at PR as the rest of them. He said, I think I would look at some of the process today as just making sure through that sentiment we don't actually shoot the dog who's trying to bring home the bone.
What?
And meet its obligation all across the Gulf, and we're going to be there a long time.
Yeah, that sounds like, you know, you better pay up in case you don't want your house to burn down. It'd be a shame if something happened to your car or your house.
I love Chicago guy. Yeah. Mary in San Francisco. Hi, Mayor.
Hey, I'm the official independent bookseller of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello.
And I'm just calling because I think one of the problems that the Dems are having on this is that the Republicans have set up a system, or the at least the media has, that it's really all about BP, this innocent little company, and big government. So there's only two characters in this argument, and they don't bring up all the people that have been harmed and the environment and everything. So what they really need to do is they need to keep showing all the, you know, oiled birds and the closed businesses and all the people out
absolutely
of work and closed, you know. And
absolutely. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Elliot Engel, congressman from New York, next.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. Mama's appearance on The Ed Show on MSNBC from Friday is up there. You know that I'm really hurt if I stop media whoring. I canceled my MSNBC appearance today because I'm going to have to go to the doctor because I broke my foot.
Did you find a doctor to go to?
Pardon me? Yes.
Okay. Good.
Well, I a podiatrist. That's the best I can do for right now.
Dr. Farr.
I'm going to see Dr. Humphlarger.
Huffer.
Okay. All right. So I'll update you tomorrow. John Fugelsang will be filling in for Mama in L.A. with the MOOCs tomorrow because I'm going to D.C., which will be – that'll be good. I'll be walking through airports carrying luggage. Perfect.
Oh, boy.
Going to speak to
– on crutches.
You know, ironically, this belongs in the Isn't It Ironic file. Among other people, guess who will be there? Podiatrists.
Isn't it ironic?
It's the Office and Professional Employees International Union I'm going to speak to.
Yeah, but I still don't think that's irony. I think that's just coincidental.
Hmm. Okay. We
well,
have,
you might be going to ride on that trolley.
Then I go, beep, beep, beep.
With your luck, it'll crash and break your other foot.
Yes, exactly. All right. Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
What,
sorry
you
about
know,
your foot. Sorry
oh,
about
I
your
wish...
foot.
Listen, I wish I'd broken it kicking Tony Hayward's ass like you did at the.
well,
can you believe the latest? You just questioned him last week, and there he is yachting this weekend.
He's amazing. You know, he comes to our hearing, and essentially tells us nothing, and apologizes, but says that he was not personally responsible for making the decision as to how to drill and what to use to drill when 2 days earlier all the other executives of all the other oil companies said that BP cut corners and tried to save money and there was no way that their company would have drilled the same
way. Apparently he was only in charge of changing the toner in the copier, I guess. He had nothing to do with
apparently.
Yeah,
so
with
when
anything.
you So when you ask him, well, okay, if you didn't make the decision, who did? He said, well, we're having an investigation. You know, we're trying to investigate. We'll see. And that basically is what he did for about 5 hours. He stonewalled. And I was just thoroughly disgusted. And I told him, you know, you're stonewalling. I don't know why you bothered to come. Apparently your lawyers told you not to to answer anything. And I told him I was thoroughly disgusted. And it's just insulting our intelligence is what he was doing. It's just absurd.
Did you actually get whiplash when Joe Barton apologized to BP?
Well, I think that he was probably given some kind of ultimatum. That's the rumor. And he got up and first he apologized to BP, and then several hours later he came up and said that he didn't mean to imply that they weren't responsible. Oh. And if he offended anybody by saying it, he apologizes for it.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. But, well, you know, I think as Rahm Emanuel and others have pointed out this weekend, I mean, a lot of right-wingers are saying this, are defending BP and are criticizing the $20 billion. I mean, it's really incredible. This is what they think. This really, he didn't misspeak. These were prepared remarks, right?
Yeah. Well, the Club for Growth, which is the conservative, you know, wing of the Republicans, I think they have about 120 members in the House. They essentially said the same thing. They came out with a statement essentially saying the same thing. So, look, you know, it's a funny thing. When I was growing up, I said to my father, what's the difference between a Democrat and a Republican? And he said to me, the Republicans are for the rich man and the Democrats are for the working man.
Mm-hmm.
I never forgot that. So I still think that the Republicans are still for the corporate interests by and large, and
yeah,
make excuses. But you know, there's no excuse, and Tony Hayward seems to be tone deaf. I mean, I'd love to do a yacht race on the Isle of Wight, but I just think that it's kind of inappropriate for him to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, but you point out that, again, it's not even just BP. You know, you have a record of, you know, what a lot of these guys told Congress. Ms. Lamar, the BP American president in Congress in 2009, said, for those who continue to question the safety of offshore energy operations, I can only point to our record in the Gulf of Mexico. CEO of Exxon said, the industry has developed the technologies that acquired the experience to produce these resources safely and with a minimal environmental footprint. I mean, just one after another of them basically lying, right?
Of course, and on Tuesday's hearing when we had the other oil execs, I read them those quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, who's lying? I said to Tony Hayward, you know, should we believe what they're saying or should we believe what you're saying, or, you know, which one of you is lying? You know, they think that we're stupid or that we, you know, have no recourse. You know, they lied. It's pretty obvious that BP lied from the get-go. They were telling us that there was only 5,000 barrels per day leaking, and now we've seen some internal documents that show that early on they realized they were 100,000 barrels per day, 20 times what they were admitting to. So, you know, you really cannot believe a word that they say. I asked Tony Hayward, if you have other rigs, he said there's lots of them in the Gulf. How do we know that the same thing won't happen to one of the others? So he had an excuse, well, those are mostly dry and it can't happen again.
Uh-huh.
Of course,
yeah.
He said this couldn't happen. And there's evidence, Stephanie, real, real good evidence that in order to save a few bucks, they cut corners. They cut corners in the way the drill was constructed. They cut corners in terms of the way things were done. And when he became the CEO of BP, he said that you know, the environment was important, and that the safety was important, and he would zero in it on it like a laser. He said to make sure that, you know, safety was preeminent, and obviously it was just a bunch of bull.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Congressman, where do you stand on drilling right now? I mean, when you know, like you say, I mean, really the most I thought terrifying thing was all these other executives where they go, yeah, we have the exact same safety plan as BP does. I mean, you know,
well,
clearly they don't.
That's what's such a joke. You know, for years they told us they had all kinds of safeguards in place, and if something happened, there was a safeguard. If something happened to the safeguard, there was another safeguard, and so on and so forth. And then it turns out there's no safeguards. Nobody knows what they're doing, and it's like the Keystone Cops. You know, every single day BP was searching for a new method to try to plug it up, and now we're told mid-August perhaps, and then who believes that, you know, anymore? I mean, if this doesn't make our country change our policies on oil. I don't know what will.
I've said that. If not now, when? I mean, when without, you know, this picture on TV every day, when are we going to, when, if not now, we're going to get off dirty fuels, when will we?
I don't know. The answer is if we don't do it now, we're never going to do it. I saw some clips of Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford in the back in the 1970s saying the exact same thing that we're saying now, and here it is 40 years later, and we're still, you know, diddling. I mean, we're just not not serious about it, and I think that you know, we passed a bill in the House. It wasn't a perfect bill, but it was a bill that was a step in the right direction. We have the Kerry bill in the Senate, you know, which would put limits on carbon emissions. We need to do that, and we need to look at solar and wind and even nuclear, which I used to be opposed to. But now I think that we can look at everything because we have to get ourselves off of foreign oil, and I think the drilling – it's wrong when before this happened, when President Obama said that he wanted to, you know, allow more drilling, I issued a release saying that I thought it was a mistake.
Yeah. Well, clearly. I mean, you know, like you were saying, I mean, clearly we were all lied to. I mean, these companies, you know, what they told Congress. And I think, you know, you need to take a serious look before we move forward on this. Congressman, before you go, let me get your take on the other, you know, big story that the Obama administration has decided to file suit to block that Arizona law, which I think is great. I mean, I think to really take a stand and say bigotry is not the way to solve this, you know, problem. Comprehensive immigration reform is the right way to go. What do you think?
Well, I agree with it 100%. And, you know, there's some irony coming out of it because I spoke with one of my colleagues from Arizona, and he said that since Arizona passed that law, a lot of Mexican Americans or people who are here are afraid to be counted in the census. And they think that Arizona will wind up perhaps not gaining as many seats as they thought they were going to gain. They might actually lose a seat because people are just afraid to.
Well, between that and the boycott, I mean, they really are just hurting themselves with this. And I think that, you know, it points to a bigger problem that we really need to get comprehensive immigration reform done, don't we?
There's no doubt about it. I'm a co-sponsor of the bill, and I think that the more we put our – it's like with oil. I mean, if we want to just keep putting our heads in the sand and not acting on something, the problem only gets worse. It doesn't get any better. It just keeps getting worse as the months roll on. And so it's about time we did comprehensive immigration reform, and I think that the you know, it's a funny thing. I was listening to on the radio today in D.C., and some of the people in Virginia want to pass a law. Some of the Republicans in Virginia legislature want to pass a law similar to Arizona. I can't believe people are so tone deaf.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Congressman Elliot Engel of the great state of New York, thank you so much, as always, for your time, sir.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right.
I hope you heal quickly.
Oh, thank you. We'll see you next time. All right. Did he apologize to me on behalf of New York for breaking me?
No, he did not.
No.
Huh.
No. Could I have your wedding organ, please, for a moment? I just have to say, I'm not going to miss my New York Times because I'm still going to get it when I go back to L.A., but the wedding section, do you guys ever read the wedding section?
No.
Of the New York Times?
I don't get the New York Times.
He gets it, but he just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
I get it. You don't get it. Okay, fine. My point is, we were going to have Ted Boutros Jr., a law partner to Ted Olson, on in just a few minutes to update us on the Prop 8 trial in California.
That's right.
But I'm reading my New York Times, and they include same-sex weddings, which I love in the wedding.
I've heard that.
The wedding section. And I have in front of me the wedding announcement for Gary Lohman and Brock McCormick.
Brock?
Brock.
Okay.
Brock and Gary got married. Fine-looking gents. William Gary O. Lohman Jr. and Brock Patrick McCormick were married Saturday evening at the Westin Grand Hotel in Washington. And then I love the wedding section because it gives you little details about how they met and stuff. And I just love this. It's right in the New York Times wedding section. And because it reminded me of the Prop 8 trial. That I thought, okay, I don't know what people think. If you don't let gay people marry, these guys were never going to marry women. Let me just tell you something.
Oh, no.
I don't know what.
The stereotypes are us.
Mm-hmm. Gary said he would come over to my house and we would play different Broadway soundtracks and sing along. Oh. Mr. McCormick said we both knew all the words to Wicked and that's how we bonded.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah, that's super gay.
That's gay. That is gay.
Their relationship turned romantic at a Super Bowl party.
Super Bowl party.
Mr. McCormick posted in February 2006, he'd invited a group of friends who were not big football fans, and after watching for a while, he and Mr. Lohman turned on show tunes and got up and sang. I love the New York Times wedding announcement.
I know that they only watched the game for the commercials and the halftime show.
Yeah, they should try that in front of Jim Ward while he's watching the World Cup. That would have ended in fisticuffs. Wow.
June is busting out all over.
Get out of the way, Sparky.
And Portugal is about to clang, 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 goes the trolley. Get out of the front of the TV. All right. I just love that story.
Although Jim obviously knows show tunes enough to sing them for that comedy
My bit. First radio job was a radio station that played show tunes.
Oh.
Friends of mine at K-Tide, the rock station, were banging groupies, you know, out the window over State Street. And I had guys visiting me to bring me a cake. Thought you might enjoy a cake. Thank you. Thank you. Very nice of you. That was really... sweet. Thanks.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the latest on the oil spill and the Prop 8 trial as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sanchez and Montebello, hola, que tal, adios mio.
Mamacita y los Mookies del Norte, muy buenos nachos. Today, I'm actually Dr. Sanchez Bonecracker today. I'm going to offer you some free medical advice here.
Thank you.
You know, at one point I was thrown out of medical school, right?
No, I did not know that.
Well, that was because I was rolling my own Valium cigarettes. So, but I think that your injury is psychosomatic, much the same way that husbands feel the pregnancy syndrome when their wives are pregnant. We're all suffering the pains that the Gulf is suffering right now. So I think it's related to that. The Gulf is on everyone's minds right now. So you could be taking it and channeling it through your foot. But
sure.
there was something actually about the Gulf. I think that we should all start being. We should all be getting concerned about the conditions down there. One of my Facebook friends was telling me on a higher level, because she was telling me over the weekend, she lives in the Tampa area. She was saying that she was smelling that rotten egg smell, the hydrogen sulfide.
Oh, boy.
And I was also reading elsewhere that they already have contingency plans in effect for evacuating people down there.
Yep.
And in one other place, I don't know if you know about this, Jim, but the U.S. Army Northern Command, which is basically the military wing of Homeland Security, was also announcing that they're conducting drills in, of all places, the Gulf of Mexico.
My sister's living in that side of Florida right now.
Yeah.
So they're starting to smell it, too.
Yeah. So I think we should all collectively, start praying for no hurricanes to hit the Gulf.
It may have already started. I was reading a report about crops getting these mysterious, deadly spots on them. And it may be from contaminated rain from the Gulf. I mean, they have no other explanation for it. But
Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I hope you feel better. I really worry about you.
Yeah, we all do.
You should. I'm clearly need adult supervision at all times.
Apropos of that married couple, I just wanted to say that my son is a musical theater guy, but he's straight. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But he was on a bus and truck tour for several months with a cast, or, going around the country performing, right around the time of the Oscars and the NCAAs. And so, he's a Tar Heel guy, he's a sports guy. So he desperately tried to get up a pool for the NCAAs. He could not get anyone interested. No one would buy in, no one would do anything. Then it was like, oh boy, let's have an Oscar pool. And all the guys are like Oscars and musicals. And he called me. He said, I may be on the wrong tour.
Gayest musical ever. Chuck and Di at the what was it called? The tabloid musical.
Oh,
it was before the catastrophe. Yeah. And
yes.
So it doesn't rub off. You'll be happy.
Okay.
Exactly. All right. By the by, speaking of court cases and let me have my fine American music here. You know who's doing the Lord's work is that Senator Al Franken.
Yes. Quietly, I might add.
Republican senators and conservative jurists found themselves on the defensive after Senator Al Franken blasted conservative activism on the federal courts. It's about time someone mentioned that. They only talk about activism when they think it's something they don't like. Franken, in a major speech before the American Constitution Society, sought to set the stage for the summer confirmation battle over Elena Kagan joining the Supreme Court. Originalism isn't a pillar of our constitutional history. It's a talking point, Franken said, taking a jab at Chief Justice John Roberts for his famous comparison between judges and baseball umpires during his confirmation hearings. How ridiculous, Franken said. Judges are nothing like umpires. He's calling them out.
Good. Well, when Republicans talk about judicial activism, they really mean upholding established law, Roe v. Wade.
Exactly. And then, you know, when they want a Bush-appointed president, they're looking for some good judicial activists, aren't they? All right, here's that butthole by BP chairman, Sundberg.
And that's what in the Congress they try to claim. But this is, of course, something that we will look very, very carefully into in the investigations. But that has not been the intention.
He's talking about cutting corners. And Congress is claiming that, but there's no evidence at all.
No, and furthermore, flirty, flirty, smirk, smirk, flirty, flirty.
He is the Swedish chef. Oh, my God.
All right. The small people will not appreciate what we are doing for them, but as you know, flirty, 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 mork,
mork, mork. Farfenugan. Okay.
That's German. That is German,
yeah,
Stephanie.
Okay, I don't know.
bless your heart.
Representative Chris Van Hollen, whom we know.
We're going district by district to talk about this issue and holding Republican members and their candidates accountable.
Yeah, exactly. Many of whom feel exactly the same as Joe Barton. Mm-hmm. 29 minutes after the hour, we will be back with Ted Boutros Jr., law partner of Ted Olson in the Prop 8 trial, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
They want to surprise him.
Can't you surprise him in some other way? For example, I'm sure he'd be delightfully taken aback if you cleaned your apartment.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Ted Boutros Jr. is Ted Olson's law partner, we should point out, a partner in law in the Prop 8 trial out in California. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for checking back in with us. Let's first update us on where we're at. The trial, you wrapped up closing arguments, correct?
That's right. Last week, we had an all-day session on Wednesday on closing arguments, and now the case is in the hands of the judge, and we're awaiting a decision from Chief Judge Walker in San Francisco.
And when is that expected, Ted?
There are no deadlines for the court. I would think we'd probably get something from the judge this summer, but he could do it sooner than that or later than that, however long it takes him to look at the arguments and make a decision.
Wow. So I'm hearing that Ted Olson was on a conference call where he said he believes that you guys are going to win, but obviously that, you know, he thinks whoever loses is going to go to the Supreme Court, correct?
We feel very strongly about our case, and Ted Olson has said that we felt that our side put on experts from around the world that were compelling the other side, really, and our plaintiffs were just overpowering in their testimony. The other side really put on no case. They put on two witnesses, and we thought that we were able to really take them apart on cross-examination. David Boies did just a fantastic job, so we feel very good about where we are at this point in the case.
I heard you. I don't know if you saw Maureen Dowd's piece yesterday, but she talked about some statements. It sounds like it went very well for you. She writes, among other things, she said a defense witness, David Blankenhorn, the president of the Institute for American Values, a group that studies marriage and families, inexplicably ended up helping the plaintiffs when he said that heterosexual couples have been busy deinstitutionalizing the institution of marriage and that adoptive parents are as good as natural parents. He also said that we will be more American on the day that we permit same-sex marriage and give gays human dignity. Did that shock you?
It was devastating when it happened in trial, and the judge allowed us to play clips, video clips, from the trial back in January during the closing arguments. So Ted Olson played those three clips and more. When Mr. Blankenhorn said, we would be more American the day we recognize same-sex marriage than we were the day before, I thought that was a pivotal big moment in the trial. That's their main witness.
Well, I was going to say, it is a really great line. And to think it came from someone that was supposed to be helping the other side, amazing. Now, Morgenthau goes on to say, at one point, Cooper, he's the other judge, right?
He's the lawyer for the defendants, yes.
Yeah. At one point, Cooper was pressed by the judge, who said, I don't mean to be flip, but went on to ask the lawyer, what testimony in the case supports the proposition that the object of marriage is procreation? Cooper said he didn't need evidence of that point, surprising the judge, and argued that even if that was wrong, Judge Walker should uphold the law because the people of California had voted for the same-sex marriage ban. Walker seems bemused, Morgenthau writes, bemused as he did through much of Cooper's stumbling clothes, but the state doesn't withhold the right to marriage to people who are unable to produce children of their own, the judge said. Are you suggesting the state should? Cooper said no, failing to offer any compelling argument for discriminating against same-sex couples.
That was really, again, we thought very telling, and that the argument of the supporters of Proposition 8 was that they really didn't know for what would happen if same-sex marriage was allowed, that they didn't have any evidence, and that they didn't need any evidence, and I think that's contrary to the legal standards, but it was also one of the great things about having a trial, that putting it on with witnesses and evidence, they had no evidence, and that, we think really serves the cause of marriage equality and puts us in a very strong position in this case.
Morgenthau closes by saying Olson was at the top of his game as he concluded the case and got a standing ovation from those watching the proceedings on screen in the overflow room. And I submit at the end of the day, he said, I don't know and I don't have to put up any evidence. With all due respect to Mr. Cooper, does not cut it. It does not cut it when you're taking away the constitutional rights, basic human rights, and human decency from a large group of individuals. I mean, that is a great summation, right?
He really captured it. And in his rebuttal, he took apart the other side's arguments one by one, and I think really did capture what our case is all about, equality, treating people fairly, giving everyone the same rights in this country. And on the other side of the equation, it's, I don't know, we don't have to put on any evidence, and that doesn't cut it in our system.
And it's arrogant, isn't it, Ted? I mean, it really is, or excuse me, I'm sorry, Ted, it just seems to me that that's all they got. They just came with, well, the people voted for bigotry, so there.
I was very surprised because they had been so vehement during the campaign that they had all these reasons. Once they got into court and once they knew that their witnesses would have to be cross-examined and have to explain themselves, they decided that their best answer was, we don't have to have any evidence. But in our civil rights trials throughout history, Brown versus Board of Education, up until the present day, there have been trials where people have to put on evidence to prove why they think a discriminatory law is appropriate, and they just didn't have any.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Ted Olson said that recently. We hope that we'll not be far away from a day when everyone understands the same now as they do about interracial marriages, that it's inconceivable. We can't prevent people from having that relationship by erecting legal barriers to it. And I think, sort of paraphrasing that we will be more American line, he said, we will not be complete as a nation dedicated to the proposition that all men and women are created equal until we start treating our gay and lesbian colleagues as equal. I mean, that's really just the basis of this whole thing.
It really is. The marriage is a basic civil right. Equality is a basic aspect of our Constitution. When you look at the gay marriage ban in California and other states, it's one of the few areas where we actually have governments explicitly discriminating against people because of who they are and because of their status. And we really feel strongly this is unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court's decision in Loving versus Virginia, which struck down bans on interracial marriage and other cases, you take those cases to their logical and rational conclusion, and these laws, this law in California and others like them, should go down too.
Well, and I also think I was reading what else Ted Olson had to say on this conference call, and a friend of mine, Rob Reiner, and his wife Michelle Olson calls heroes. I didn't even realize that they put together and financed the American Foundation for Equal Rights, including the legal team led by Olson and Boies to challenge the constitutionality of Prop 8. I mean, that's the thing. I think in any civil rights battle, it's people. I mean, obviously, who are not gay but are standing up, you know, for everybody's rights that I think is really, they really are heroes.
You are absolutely right. Rob and Michelle Reiner and Chad Griffin, who is a longtime colleague of them and works with them, and Bruce Cohen, the film producer, Lance Black, others who, you know, they stepped up and said, we think this is wrong. We need to put together an effort. And it really, it makes you feel good that people are looking for ways to make our country better and to make equality something that applies to everyone. So you're absolutely right.
Well, I'm saying that for two reasons. One, I love Rob Reiner, and two, I'm trying to get invited back to his house because I've never been invited back once I spilled wine on Christine Lottie or, I don't know, something. Last party I was there.
I'll put in a good word for you.
Thank you. Please. And then he was on the Hillary side, and, you know, we need to kiss and make up. but, you know, it was interesting. I was joking earlier, Ted, but, you know, I was reading Maureen Dowd's column in the New York Times this weekend, and then I read the wedding section, and they, you know, they include same-sex weddings in there, and it was hilarious as these two guys that met and bonded over singing show tunes, over singing all the songs to Wicked. And I said, those two guys are never going to marry women, even if you disallow gay marriage. Like, what do people think? Like, if you say this, you know, we're not going to do this, that there's not going to be gay people anymore? I mean, it really is, you know, the way you guys, I think, phrased it so brilliantly, is just giving everybody the same rights, period.
And we kept arguing, why do you want to stop people who simply want to get married and have a happy family life and raise children and enjoy life and be productive members of society? Why would you want to stop them, and what harm will it do to anyone else? And there was no evidence, no response from the other side. So it's. I think you're absolutely right. When you read those stories of people who are in love and want to live happy lives, how can you and why would you say no?
Right. Well, and I think that that's why, you know, Ted Olson being involved in this was so pivotal, because, you know, his sort of, you know, conservative case for gay marriage is really compelling and consistent when you think about it.
He really is able to capture the essence of this argument. And then when you put him together with David Boies, I mean, as a lawyer and as a citizen, seeing those two put this case on and lay it out, it's really been a great thing, I think, for the case and for the cause for marriage equality.
How do you think the George Wrecker story breaking in the midst of this affected things or not? I mean, it, if there could be a bigger right-wing hypocrite, you know. But as I was saying, you know, there's always the jokes. This is the guy, of course, caught in the rent boy scandal. But I mean, this guy has put a lot of his life and energy into hurting gay people and gay rights, hasn't he?
It was very interesting development, and it goes back to this point of why devote your time towards trying to take away the rights from other people. And when you do have a story that does go to the hypocrisy of it, I think it drives home the point. Mr. Blankenhorn, one of the people, the expert we were talking about, one of the articles he cited as material he had relied on in our case was an article by Mr. Wreckers. And you say, you know, let's devote your time to something else. If people want to live happily and with freedom and equality, is that really what you should be devoting your time to trying to stop?
Yeah. Well, it was based on his quote-unquote research, which apparently involves having nearly naked men carry your luggage and massage you. Yeah, anyway, but no, I mean, that I thought was, in some ways, couldn't have been more perfect timing for your case, because this is a guy that's testified all over the country, right, in gay adoption cases, and in this, like you say, he was certainly cited in the gay marriage trial.
That's correct, and it really goes back to the fact that there is no research, there is no data, there's nothing. The judge asked Mr. Cooper, all these articles you're citing, all these studies you're citing, you couldn't get one witness to come into court and testify to these things, and that's what happened. There really isn't any body of literature, scientific literature, or anything that supports the other side that wants to stop people who of the same gender from getting married, and I think that drives home that point.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Ted, I feel it. I think we're almost there. So, you know, let's just keep on fighting the good fight. And thank you so much for checking in with us. I hope you will again. So.
I will love to. Thanks again for having me.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay,
Ted
bye.
Boutros Jr.
Hooray.
Yes. 45. And thank
Boutros?
You for making.
Golly.
I was just going to thank you for not making that joke. And you see.
And we did it. We had to.
45
It was
minutes.
There for the taking.
He's laying there like a soccer ball, ready to be kicked into the goal.
That's right.
Seven times by Portugal
Jim
this morning against North Korea.
He's on his World Cup buzz. Don't harsh it. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, baby, I was thumbing through the dictionary, trying to find words to describe you. I found one. You know what it is? It's
Stephanie Miller.
You're not required to play our gayest bump just because we checked in on the Pop 8 Tribe.
Well, I thought it was an FCC regulation.
51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Little celebrity stack, huh? Bike stolen from Jenna Bush's home.
What?
Who has a lot of free time and really likes bikes?
All right, I did it. I'm going to get on a bicycle again with my baseball cards and the spokes. Sounds like a machine gun. It's like me flying my F-102 again. Shooting down all them North Vietnamese fighters. Oh, it's right. I never left Texas. Must have been a dream. It was all a dream. And you were there, Dick. And you too, Don and Connie.
Any opportunity to bring back the hits. You know how
that's
it is.
Right.
Playing the hits. Playing the free birds. Warren Beatty's daughter wants to have a sex change.
Oh,
oh
no.
Come on. You're stealing Chaz's act. Warren Beatty and Annette Bening's daughter, Kathleen, wants to undergo a sex change surgery. She's 18. She is wants to have the surgery now that she's an adult.
And we fully support her decision.
Yes. She maybe wants to be as big a womanizer as her father. Good for her. We support her here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh,
oh
I mean...
Boy. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I kind of... Well, it depends on how far into the transition she is, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
MTV to go easy on Guidos in the New Jersey Shore?
Well, what fun is that?
What's left if you take the Guido-ness out of the Jersey Shore? The head of an Italian-American group says the producers of MTV's Jersey Shore reality show plan to go easier on Italian references in the shows.
They should make fun of Mennonites and Amish, and all those people who live on the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, the oddest line in that story, Chris, it said, Snooki said her fans. I'm like, what? Snooki has fans?
Apparently.
You're a fan of Snooki.
And every single one of them has syphilis.
You don't know that for sure.
I did not say that.
The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes to the syphilitic fans of Snooki. We don't know for sure. Could be chlamydia. All right. The superficial the superficial reporting. Dina Lohan called the cops because Carvel wouldn't give her free ice cream.
What? Oh, my God. What's this world coming to?
Oh, boy. Dina Lohan apparently called the cops this week. Wait for it. Carvel refused to give her free ice cream just for being Lindsay's mom. As part of Carvel's 75th anniversary celebration last year, Carvel writes, we issued 75 black cards to celebrities. These cards were issued in the celebrity's name and required the cardholder to be present at the time of use. Unfortunately, the Lohan family has been abusing the card. While the card was issued in Lindsay's name only, her extended family has repeatedly used the card without her present. After more than 6 months of numerous and large orders for ice cream, we finally had to cut off the card and take it back. Dina Lohan reacted badly and called the police to have her card returned.
Oh, my
called
God.
Called the police? Yeah, they love that.
God.
All right.
Just because she couldn't get her cookie puss.
I beg your pardon?
Excuse me?
It's an ice cream cake that Carvel offers.
Ah, I thought it was a reference to
Going
Commando.
I thought you were talking about one of those pictures of Lindsay getting out of the limo. Okay. Oh, boy. Okay, Scary Spice, Jim. I don't know. We'll have to ask you how your married life is. She told George Lopez her fitness secret is she said, you fancy a shag. You have sex 5 times a day with your husband.
Wow.
Today was a busy day, so it was just 3.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. Yikes.
Oh, that is, she is a Scary Spice.
That, she
Yikes.
Is scary.
Yeah, she fancies a shag.
How many times a day does Mrs.
Constantly.
Ward demand marital relations? Again? All right. Representative Michelle Bachmann, the bat crazy congresswoman from Minnesota on the BP.
We don't think it's a good idea for the federal government to see private industry as essentially a piggy bank for the federal government.
But
yeah,
it was
the
BP's
using
idea.
Just using it for Siggy money. That's what he's saying.
It was BP's idea to set up an escrow account.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Oh, God.
What was I going to say? The oil industry has deep pockets. They have a long history of supporting Republicans, said one political consultant. Like any kind of addiction, it's a terribly difficult thing to break. Because, like I was saying, Barton's not the only one defending them. You have the Michelle Bachmann. It's really a theme at this point. Oh, Barton, by the way, a hair away apparently from being ousted.
I think, by the way,
there's a behind-the-scenes story, Chris, about the, I think we were right last week. There was crying and throwing of things in Boner's office when he heard about this. It was the crying and the throwing of things and the yelling.
Top of our list. I think the top of our list.
And he said, basically, hell no, you can't.
And security of the American people. That's at the top of our list.
Hell no, you can't.
They were a hair away from booting Barton outright, according to a Republican aide. In the 24 hours since he has retracted his apology to BP, the heat on him has only increased in some Republican corners.
I wouldn't think the GOP would look upon this as an impeachable offense for a... That just seems weird to me that they would kick him out just for saying that.
Well, because it's what they all believe, so it's just...
Exactly.
Say it out loud, you idiot.
He's the sacrificial lamb.
All right, Kevin Costner, before we go on, is a sucky machine.
This machine, it was designed for that, to fight for you. It was designed to give us a fighting chance to fight back the oil before it got us by the throat. When you're in a fight, anybody knows you go to confront it, right where it is. You don't wait for it to come to your door. You don't allow it to reach your family, your community. That's what this machine was intended for.
By the way, this just in, Governor Jan Brewer has asked for Kevin Costner's machine to suck the immigrants out of her state. What? Hillary Clinton on the lawsuit.
President Obama has spoken out against the law because he thinks that the federal government should be determining immigration policy. Mm-hmm. And the Justice Department, under his direction, will be bringing a lawsuit against the act.
Jan Brewer wasn't too happy about that.
All right, that's it for me. I'm going to hobble over to the podiatrist on my broken foot. John Fugelsang will be in for me tomorrow, and I will see you back here Wednesday on the Stephanie Miller Show.